The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valenti and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Here's the handle. Harris is in for the Steeler touchdown.
Wilson has it. Throws it.
Got the touchdown. Van Jefferson.
When his confidence was riding high, and he made 33 kicks. But this year, it's a different story. Second and 10. Down the middle.
Wilson.
And he broke one for 65 yards in the Super Bowl down in Arizona against Philadelphia a couple years. Didn't go for a touchdown, but
oh my goodness! Now he's got more explaining to do on the sideline. That is recovered by the same guy who threw the football back. Oh, Skowronek.
And the Steelers have themselves a 27-14 victory. To go to 10-3 on the season. The final score here is Pittsburgh 27, Cleveland 14.
Yes, sir, and that carries us right into a Pompeiani Monday. God bless me. If there's a Donnie Football Friday, then there's a Pompeiani Monday, a Bobby Monday. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Joe, after your birdie at Valley Brook? Pretty good?
Pretty
happy.
In these
conditions?
Pretty happy, Bob. Do you remember Rick Monday?
Absolutely. Yeah. Outfielder for the Dodgers, mostly.
Yeah. Wonderful player.
Boy, they had a stack lineup back in the day when they had Ron Say and
Steve Garvey.
Davey Lopes.
Who was the third? Ron Say was the third baseman. Yeah, yep. Steve Yeager.
I'm trying to remember.
Dusty Baker.
Who was the shortstop?
Bill Russell. Davey Lopes at second. Steve Garvey at first. Now he's running for office. I don't even know if he won. Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left. How are you, sir?
Sporting his Dave Parker. Look at that. The old throwback Dave Parker jersey.
Awesome. That is awesome. And a shout out to Dave Parker, a childhood hero of mine. I had his poster in my room as a kid, the Cobra, one of the most intimidating baseball players of all time and one of the greatest five-tool players of all time. He hit for power. He ran like a deer when he was young and healthy at 6'5", whatever he was. And he had a cannon for an arm. He won gold gloves. He won multiple gold gloves plus a batting title. Plus he hit for power.
Didn't he have back-to-back batting titles?
I don't remember, Bob.
Two in a row, I think. And yeah, I mean, in this day and age, we saw the Juan Soto contract yesterday. What do you think Dave Parker would have commanded in his heyday?
That's one thing I think about. The other is Dave Parker on steroids. Can you imagine if he came along in the steroid era? He would have been the biggest monster. He would have made Barry Bonds look like city limits at 145 pounds. Dave Parker on steroids would have hit 8 million home runs, Bob. But
just
I'm glad
a
to see
a great five-tool talent, and I'm glad to see it, too. And everything, you know, the fact that he's been dealing with Parkinson's disease, and the fact is he now has some time to enjoy this. you know, you never know what your future holds, but
yes.
I hate when I see situations. Excuse my throat. I don't know. Frog in my throat. Wait.
That's okay, Bob. And God bless you today.
Dick Allen didn't get a chance. There are a lot of people posthumously who don't get that chance, you know. So
yeah, I'm really happy for him. But we begin today, of course, with the Steelers. And let's get this out of the way right away, Bob. Because I'm going to say right now, I don't know what's happening. I'm assuming that George Pickens was hurt. But I'm listening to the morning show. I'm reading tweets from our very own Josh Rountree. I'm hearing Mike Prisuta on the flagship station, wondering at least if Pickens was actually hurt, if he missed the game because of injury. I'm just an innocent bystander here. I do have to laugh when people automatically write this off as you know, hallucinations and media and everything else. Come on, nobody out there would be surprised if this was a disciplinary thing. Tomlin has already disciplined Pickens this season. And the other thing is that Tomlin, like all professional sports coaches, lies through his teeth to the media every week, which means he lies to you, the fans, every week and admits it. And good for him. He benched Pickens earlier this season and never admitted it. So let's get out of the way the idea, oh my God, what a conspiracy theory. This is insane. It's the media. No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I hear people that I trust wondering about it. That's all. And then I heard Jerry Dulac after the game say that he had heard it was a grade 2 hamstring strain, I believe he phrased it. This is via Crowley. Hopefully Crowley got this one right. I think he did, Bob. I trust Crowley. So I'm going to assume he's injured, but my ears are a little bit perked when I hear people talking about that. Based on history, based on Pickens' history, based on wide receiver history here, based on people saying that Tomlin told Fox or CBS before the game, I didn't hear this, that Pickens should be ready to go. I'm just wondering, that's all. What are you hearing? What do you think?
What I think is he has an injury. And I think it happened late. It could happen for all I know on the punt that he made after he got a touchdown in Cincinnati.
Oh
I don't
my God.
Know. Maybe
Can
that
you
was
imagine
it.
If yeah. that was it?
Well, I mean, stranger things have happened. I think he is injured. I think they made a decision. And listen, it came right down to the game day. I think if they were really going to discipline him, they wouldn't have carried out this elaborate thing where Scotty Miller's not expecting to play, and then 10 minutes before inactives are listed, he's all of a sudden told you better dress. So I think they did go through, and I think they're trying to be prudent with him. I don't have any information that it's anything beyond that. I don't think they'd be helping their own cause if George Pickens doesn't play in critical games. I think they want to make sure he's available down the stretch when it matters most. So this is something, and I believe this is the case, that he has some sort of hamstring. It may not be a big one or one that can sideline him, but they don't want to make it worse. They've gone through this with Russell Wilson with different things. You got to make sure guys are healthy at the right time of the year, and I think that's what this is.
I'm going to stand with you on that, Bob, but I will say my ears are perked for further information.
After all,
was the savvy old news hound once upon a time, and the day Antonio Brown was suspended for that Bengals game all those years ago, I was the one to pipe up in the post game to ask Mike Tomlin, because Ed Bouchette had told me on our pre-show, he told me that is not, Antonio is not hurt. Something's brewing there. So I asked Tomlin after the game, you know, by the way, it was kind of a big game. Where was Antonio? And of course, he gave the runaround because he didn't think everybody knew that something was up with Antonio. Turned out it was just a little problem with Antonio.
Just
right?
a little.
Right?
Which got bigger and bigger. I think George Pickens knows that they're not happy with the way he conducts himself on some of these things. I do think that. And I think that's something you have to weigh when you're dealing with future money involved in his contract. So, but I also know that they know how important he is. And I think if you watch yesterday's game, like I did, especially in the first half, you came away thinking the value of George Pickens just went up.
Oh my God. I wrote that it was a George Pickens infomercial. Now those guys, they did a nice job. Don't get me wrong.
They did.
But it was against the Browns. But hold on one sec. Hold on one sec. Do we have a disclaimer? Let's have a disclaimer. Bob, for everything we say today about Scotty Miller, the offense, anything that happened, we need a disclaimer that says, very simply, in your best radio TV voice.
Yes, but it was only against the Bengals.
Right. If we could switch that to yes, but it was only the Browns. A little bit shorter today.
Yes, but it was only the Browns.
I love it. Presto tweets us and says, if it's a grade 2 And I'll throw in, as apparently Dulac said, according to Crowley, why is it a game time last second decision? Ooh, nice question.
It is.
Maybe he aggravated it in the pregame? I don't know.
Those are things that I really think they tried to work, and I think it was done indoors. I don't think he did it on the outside. Maybe he did. Maybe he took a trip out there, but I think they wanted to see where it was. And again,
I'm standing with you, Bob.
I don't know what to say, and I'm not going to be one of these people who throw out something that I don't know, because I don't know.
Right.
So,
but there's people that I've learned to trust in the media
sure.
who are at least skeptical.
And they have
of this.
Good information, and it takes a while for that information to come out. Because
yes, I'm with you. Bob, I'm standing with you, locked arm in arm, but with a healthy skepticism moving forward, or at least my ears are right. perked to see what else may come out. But I'm with you. And then we get to the story of the game, to me at least, which was the Steelers without Pickens. And you just said it. Yes, it was a George Pickens infomercial. Give me my money at the end of the year, please, with Tomlin after the game. Like mocking the idea that they're all good after Pickens at receiver? Really? You have that many three and outs against the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead ball game, probably. Okay? You function like that. You think Scotty Miller's going to get open like that and catch sideline fades, you know, against the Chiefs, even against the Chargers? Come on. Do we have the disclaimer already? Have you taped it already? It's only the Browns, Bob. They functioned okay in the end and got a needed win in the end against a crap team. That ain't going to work in the playoffs, and hopefully it won't have to. But I think the story of this game to me was, A, they needed to win and got the job done. Good. And B, wow, is George Pickens important to the Steelers?
No question about it, and that's my takeaway as well. I thought, and give a lot of credit here to Russell Wilson having confidence in guys to make him those throws, and Scotty Miller made a nice one. Van Jefferson, the one and only target he got, made a nice read, got to open space. I thought the best throw of the day was Wilson to Freiermuth. He looked left and
great throw.
Right, tremendous down the middle, split two guys, but he trusts those guys, and as a result, they're making plays, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. But you're right. When you take on the Eagles, when you take on the Chiefs, when you take on the Ravens in their place, you better have playmakers. You better have guys who do it not once a game, but seven times a game.
I mean, they didn't score a touchdown with Pickens against the Ravens. Let's hear Tomlin after the game. Meantime, something just popped up here. Lucas Boyd tweets us, Bob. Challenge. Fan who caught the Muth TD punt needs it signed for Christmas. Is this the guy, Lucas Boyd? Do you think that's him, Wonder Twin?
I don't know if he's saying yes or that the fans should get it signed for Christmas.
He sounds to me like he's an in-between agent, like he knows someone.
Yeah,
wants to get
me
it done,
too.
And
yeah.
He's going to get a cut or whatever he gets. Who knows what they're doing?
Lucas Boyd, any relation
you
to Tyler?
You know what, though? Did you see the flight of that? If you had a Pro Tracer technology,
no.
It was a high.
Was it looked like good form.
Oh, it was
form.
A great form.
Yeah.
He must have punted before.
He must have. That was really good.
It hopefully was better than the Pickens punt, I can tell
hopefully
you.
Hopefully he didn't strain a hamstring while punting that ball, Bob. Was that a tribute to George, by the way?
Might have been.
Someone else just tweeted me. That's the first thing I thought. It was a tribute to,
those
to
guys are,
old George.
Those guys hang around. So does Najee with them. So, you know, it could have been. Although he knew what he was doing, and he was going to, you know that there's a fine involved and all that other stuff comes with it. But he was pumped up.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of treats. It's me, he says. Lucas Boyd says, it's me. I'm the fan.
Were you sitting, Lucas Boyd? We need to get the information.
Call limits at 412-928-9370, and you're going to have to prove it somehow. Either show him the football on your phone or something. Right, limits?
Yeah, let's do that. And we know people that know Pat. Pat is a big fan of the morning show.
So watch out, Lucas. We know people here. We can sniff this out in a hurry. He says he has a cool story. Yes, call in, he says. In the meantime, Bob, it seems a little early here for I told you so's after beating the Cleveland Browns. And by the way, the Steelers struggled a little bit more than I thought they would. I picked 34-13. Yeah.
The defense
think that.
Had to administer the wake-up call with that Benton interception, because other than that, they weren't really doing much offensively.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for some Mike Tomlin I told you so's yet about the receivers behind George Pickens. God bless them. The Browns are banged up a little bit in the secondary, plus they stink. And the Steelers made some plays eventually after Jameis Winston, Dr. Jameis and Mr. Hyde, threw it to Keanu Benton on a screen pass, Bob. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me on that pass?
Well, that's what Jameis Winston does once in a while. You know, he'll throw things where he shouldn't throw things. He's capable of making the three, like what he did to Judy, stepping up, avoiding traffic, and then it becomes clear to him. But, you know, the bottom line is that's it's a very risky play. I don't know where he was trying to throw it because I didn't know who the intended receiver there. Everybody was bunched together there.
Well, last week he said he prayed for deliverance from pick sixes. I guess that prayer came true. This week he should include in his prayers deliverance from throwing screen passes to nose tackles, Bob. Do you think?
But I got to give credit to Benton. He knew what was going
Great
on in
play.
That play.
He went,
he read it, moved left, and made the play. So,
all right.
And also Beanie Bishop came in and jumped like 50 inches off the ground. Did you see that? And I think that affected Jameis Winston also. Yes, he did. He was blitzing, and he just looked like he had one of those springs that you use. What are those things called that you hop along and they...
Trampolines.
Like a stick.
Pogo stick,
right. He looked like he had a pogo stick, and he was jumping in the air. He got in his face a little bit, and I think it influenced his throw.
It could have been a trampoline, Bob, and I thought your correction of limits was unduly harsh.
You don't have a trampoline in the middle. I'm just saying it...
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm like,
but
I'm
it was
just
a trampoline
to
effect,
me
Bob.
From
it was as if he. It was as if he. Is that what he said?
I know I'm better than this.
I don't know.
I know.
Bob.
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
The Lord happened. There was no pick sixes.
Do the powers above have more important things to worry about than whether Jameis Winston throws pick sixes?
Yes.
I tend to think so, but who am I? But again, this week he needs to include and. Also, if I might add a special request, please deliver me from throwing screen passes to nose tackles. I'd really appreciate that. Lucas Boyd says he has a video of this. Did you see it, Limits?
No, but he is on hold.
Oh,
is he the actual guy?
Yeah.
You sure?
I vetted him as best that I possibly could over the phone.
Bob, would you like to bring in Lucas Boyd? He's a man who claims he caught the Freiermuth punt
That's
celebration.
Right. One of the biggest moments of yesterday's game was Pat Freiermuth and the big 20-yard touchdown, followed by the punt, and it landed in the hands of Lucas Boyd, who we welcome now to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. So, Lucas, you got to prove it to us. Happy holidays.
Mr. Joe, Mr. Pump, thanks for having me on the show. Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
Loud
sir.
And clear, yes.
I was sitting there, section, I think it was C-138, row C, seat 910. I've got the ball. I've got a video of it. The woman behind us actually took the video, and I was just perplexed that it jumped in my hands. We were sitting down in the PNC Champions Club beforehand. I caught a field goal pregame and had to get that ball back. And
I have a quick question.
Wow, that's two balls in one day.
It was incredible.
Watch it, Bob. Lucas, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not doubting you at all, just maybe a little bit. Why haven't you posted this video on your Twitter account or your X account?
I didn't know if I could walk out of the stadium with it.
Well, why haven't you posted it yet?
I can post it for you right now.
This makes me think of the Franco Harris.
This is like the Pickens
reception
conspiracy.
Ball, you know, how the guy and he, Mr. Baker had it for a long time. But that back then, when Harris scored, no one knew just how significant that play was in their history of the game.
Yeah.
They didn't have netting behind, you know, the field goal thing. So he's sitting there, got it, escorted out, had it for all these years, and eventually made a nice gesture to Joe Hardy on his 100th birthday. But the fact is, nobody knew how much that ball was worth. Not that this is going to be worth a lot. I hate to do that to you,
right.
Lucas.
Right. But, you know, it's a memory.
But it's a memory. It's for you, it's a memory. And so if you have it, you verify it, we can get Pat to do it.
Wow. Listen to that offer, Lucas.
I just sent it. I would love that, Mr. Pompiani. I'd appreciate that. I'd love to have him and Russ, maybe.
Now he throws in Russ. How about Tomlin? You want Tomlin? How about Mahomes when he comes to town? You want Mahomes to sign the
dangerous
ball?
He was cooking. He was cooking, and I've got to have the chef sign the ball as well.
Bob, I actually admire that ask. It's easier to, what is it, ask for forgiveness than beg for permission. I like the ask.
Good.
Can you give him that too?
Well, I don't know about that. I've known Pat a lot longer than I know Russ. I don't know. I could ask and see what happens.
Why don't you ask
I'm sure
Pat?
Mr. Russ would love to do it. He would help a Yinzer out, a big devout Steelers fan, and that would be an awesome Christmas present for me and my family.
What's going on back there, Limits? I heard you oohing and aahing.
I'm just wowing at the offer. I'm looking at the football right now. That is the football.
Is it?
Well, I mean, it has like the official Steeler logo and the number on it. I'm sure that they can either authenticate it or just...
All right. I like this, Bob. Bob can try to make it happen.
I want more to the story here, Lucas. Was anyone wrestling with you for the ball, you know, or were they all very nice knowing it's your ball and no one tried to tackle you and knock it out, you know?
I've got a video of the whole thing as well. Like I mentioned, the lady behind us was video recording it. And no one really tried to wrestle it, but the people were coming around. I suppose you're not supposed to walk out with the footballs. They want to limit the fights and everything. So we went and we bought a blanket. We put the football in the bag, and we put the blanket over top to steal it, you know, get it out of there.
Bob, I heard Devin Bush tried to tackle him, but he easily avoided the tackle. Lucas, did you catch the ball easily, or what was it? Describe the catch.
I wasn't even looking, and my wife is sitting, you know, she was sitting beside me, and she just goes, "Luke, ball." And I turned, and it fell into my hands, and I tucked it very quickly, and I held it like a little baby.
So clean catch then?
Clean catch. The field goal at the beginning was not. It bounced on the ground, and I caught it on the bounce. This one, though, was a clean catch. I think it hit the roof that's sitting right there by the Champions Club, but I caught it off of that ricochet, and it was clear in my hand.
So in your view, that looked like a good punt to me, was it?
It was a good punt. Yeah,
he didn't
hang time.
Bob.
He had hang time.
For the touchdown. So I didn't even see it. I saw him punt the ball. I wasn't tracking it. I was celebrating. She turns and says, "Luke, ball." And I turned, and it wound up in my arms.
Is there video then of that, of the actual catch?
I've got it, yep.
We got to see that. You have to post that. I mean, I believe you now at this point, but I'd love to see the video. Do you have season tickets there, or was this a one-day thing?
Oh, I wish. That was my wife and my Christmas present to one another. We'd love season passes. It's just it's hard to afford them nowadays.
Oh, that's true. But you
this
had a great memory. You were
ball.
There at the right time.
Two balls for Lucas on the same day.
On the same day. That's an unusual feat there. So you had a great pre-holiday gift. So... Well, send what you got to send and leave your information with Austin over here, and we'll see what we could do for you.
Thank you, Lucas, for the call. That's awesome.
Heads up, the video's on your timeline now. So appreciate the time, gentlemen. Love the show, and I'll stick around. Thank you.
All right.
Bob, here's the video. Go to Lucas Boyd. Here's the video.
Wait a minute. I got to go to Lucas Boyd. Hold on a minute.
There's Wilson rolling out. There's a beautiful touchdown pass.
O-Y-D.
And then I still think in tribute to George
Pickens. Wait a minute. Is it Lucas Boyd or Luke Boyd or what is it? Lucas Boyd 0880?
Just Lucas. Yeah, Lucas.
Underscore?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
I see it.
There he is. He did catch it cleanly.
He's wearing a Big Ben jersey.
He looks like Donnie Football. Is this Donnie Football in disguise?
No.
Or not in disguise?
How come I don't see it? Where is it? I'm on Lucas Boyd.
Donnie Football shared a pretty funny story with us yesterday, Joe.
What did he say?
He said that the people sitting behind him at the game were talking about our draft of Browns players all time since 99.
They said after Myles Garrett, they couldn't think of one other Brown since 1999. Incredible.
Don't see it. Why don't I see it?
You will in a second, Bob. Well, this is amazing, and that was very kind of you, Bob, to offer to broker that
situation.
Well,
if you notice, I didn't promise. I said I'll do my best, too, and
well,
I hope I can.
Well, I just said offer. You did offer. Did I say promise? I don't know.
No.
But you didn't make any promises, but you offered.
But I think that's doable. Pat's a very
I think Pat would think
guy.
It was cool. Yeah.
I think he will think it was cool, yes.
That's a hell of a punt. Not as good as Corliss Waitman. How about his last two punts of the day, huh?
Yeah.
Man, was that impressive. All right, so we have two interesting stories. What's up with George Pickens, and is this the real Lucas Boyd? And I think on both, maybe there is no conspiracy theory. Maybe Pickens really is hurt. That would appear to be the case. And maybe Lucas Boyd really did catch that ball, and now we have video proof, Bob. What an opening segment this was.
How about that? You never know what you're going to get here.
There appears to be a very angry man in front of Lucas Boyd who made an attempt at the ball. And this guy's protecting it like Najee on the goal line. Do you have the video yet?
No. I don't know why it's not.
That's baffling to me.
Says go and Lucas replies Limits. On his page.
Yeah, I just retweeted it, Bob.
Do you see the angry man in front of Lucas Boyd?
How about the reach though? Already 10 people have liked the video. Now 11 people have liked the video.
How about, oh, you wait,
people
I post
are seeing
it.
The video.
How about How about him catching it cleanly? All his wife said was Lucas ball. And he makes essentially a blind catch. What a catch by Lucas Boyd.
What a great throw by Wilson, though. I mean, he put it right between two guys here looking from his angle. That's a great punt.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here comes the ball. And yes, Lucas Boyd makes it. Bob, look at that beautiful catch. And now he's protecting it as if it was his newborn.
Yes.
And yeah, he does have it there. Now he raises his hand and the ball. Boy, that's a risky move there, Lucas. Someone could have come from behind, knocked it free. You know, we like forced fumbles around here.
Two hands. Got to secure it.
Yeah, and then he reaches up to the heavens. Look at this man.
No fumbles.
There appears to be a drunken man near him, but luckily he backed off there, Bob. All right.
I'm gonna tag Pat Freiermuth here, and I'm gonna see what he can do.
There you go. How about this? How about Bob on the case immediately limits, huh?
This is just how good of a man Bob is. This is why he's the Mr. Mount Rushmore, George Washington, on Pittsburgh sports media.
And you're the backup here,
don't
right?
Use George Washington, because George from Washington called me once. And
Bob,
why do you have to do that?
You did this it,
to
Bob.
Yourself.
You brought up George.
No.
Bob, I would have had no inclination to play that
you
if you didn't bring it up.
That's why it's right at your fingertips. Come on now. You have that stuff ready to go.
All right, let's listen to Tomlin after the game. As I mentioned earlier, I could do without the I told you so's. You found a way to barely beat the Browns once, and I would call that a barely. I would. They got lucky. But they took care of business. Don't get me wrong. They took care of business in the game. But he also butchered the last game in Cleveland, which could have lasting ramifications here as far as a top seed, as far as a home playoff game. So I'm not sure I'm ready to hear that everybody was wrong about the Steelers receivers beyond George Pickens, because as we already know from our disclaimer limits, I don't really care in some ways what anybody did against the Browns, because there's always this truth.
Yes, but it was only the Browns.
There's always that. So let's hear Tomlin after the game scolding the media, Bob.
So this was first Tomlin on George Pickens not wanting to risk any injury further.
GP, you know, was listed as questionable. We didn't feel like he was going to be able to play the type of number of snaps that we thought would be worth putting him in a uniform, to be quite honest with you. We didn't want a small problem to become a big problem. And so we put a helmet on Scotty Miller. And as you can see, most of the time when you put the helmets on the healthy guys, man, they take care of the rest. Scotty made some plays for us. And thankful for that. That's another example of the team component of this game, man. You can waste a lot of time worried about the guys that are unavailable to you. We choose to focus our energies on the guys that are available to us.
All right. Now let's hear him expound on those other receivers.
You know, it's what we've been kind of discovering or rediscovering throughout every component of this process. You know, you guys were asking us about our lack of, quote unquote, a number two in team development. And the guys made plays. Whoever we throw the ball to makes plays. The strength of the pack is the pack. We got a bunch of guys that want to be the reasons why we're successful. And when given an opportunity, I think they continually prove that, whether it's Scotty or Mike or Calvin or whoever, Van. We believe in our group. I know I've said that to you guys repeatedly. Maybe you'll start believing me.
Maybe not, unless you do it against your upcoming schedule and then perhaps in playoff games. I still think the lack of a true number two, although Austin admittedly has shown signs of it, could come back to haunt you, Bob. For instance, if you have Buffalo in the divisional round, if you watched the game yesterday,
it could be a track meet, and Josh Allen's going to get his points. So you have to.
Exactly.
But Russell Wilson also went there and beat him head to head in a game, even with Denver as his team.
He did.
So
he did.
But yeah, but
I
you need the big time players, and I agree. But I also think, you know, Tomlin has made that message clear to the guys who were there, that they're going to get a chance whenever it is, deliver something. They won't deliver what George can deliver. That's the difference.
Of course. And as Romo, I thought, really explained well.
He's high on the Steelers, man, I can tell you.
He mentioned Super Bowl a lot with them.
He certainly did.
Of course, he probably mentioned Super Bowl a lot with about five teams in
maybe,
the AFC.
But I can tell you,
depending on who's
saw
game
him on
he's
Saturday
doing.
Night, he, without anyone asking him, he was one of those guys who just was – he's very, very bullish on what the Steelers have, because he believes they have all the components to compete. And, you know, knowing that Kansas City is not the same Kansas City team that I think we've seen in the past.
But let's not bury the lead, Bob. You just dropped another little nugget. Again, you go out to dinner with Romo and Nance?
It's a tradition unlike any other.
What did you order, Bob? I know you're not telling me where you went.
No, it's steak. I'm a steak guy. Or, you know, I like fish.
What did Romo eat?
I think he had filet.
How did he have it cooked?
I don't know that.
What did Nance eat?
Fish.
Tracy Wolfson?
Fish.
What kind of fish?
I don't know. Why are you asking me that? I didn't.
Because when I'm out to dinner, I take note of what the other people have. Where did you sit between Romo and Nance?
No. No, we had, and there were, you know, producers, guys in the broadcast who would travel with them.
Yeah.
Some really great people, very talented, I think. I learn a lot just by listening to what they have to go through on a regular basis in these trucks. And if anyone's never seen what it's like to be in a satellite truck down in the, you know, bowels of the arena when this is going on, or bowels of the stadium, it is a fascinating thing.
Limits, as with last time, we each get two questions from Bob's dinner. You go first.
So, Bob, what was the most enticing thing that Nance or Romo said to you about the Steelers?
You know, I can't tell you everything on these things. What I will tell you is that Tony Romo legitimately is into the Pittsburgh Steelers. He thinks they have a chance, you know, based on these next three games. He called it yesterday a must win. And he said that night when we were talking, he said it's a must. The must is because if you beat Cleveland, you set yourself up, give you some insulation, which was, I thought, the first time they played him in Cleveland. They needed that, you know. They needed to win that game, and they didn't. And I thought, man, that's, if you know, you lose a game like that, it could hurt you. So far, it hasn't. But I didn't think that would happen again. He thought that was a very important game for them to win.
Has Romo in any of your dinners brought up the horrible day he had at Heinz Field, when it was called Heinz Field, when he taunted the Steelers, saying, you just gave me more time, because they called timeout late in the game in regulation? And then he threw an interception to Deshae Townsend, who returned it for a touchdown. Maybe a top five electric moment in the history of that stadium, non-playoffs.
I remember that, but no. I wouldn't ruin a dinner in the holiday season by bringing up that sort of
memory. Just ask him if he's talked to Deshae Townsend lately. Limits, your second question?
Oh, I'm going back and forth between two different questions, because everybody likes to make fun of Tony Romo for going, oh, Jim, there goes the football. He doesn't say anything like that at the dinner, right?
No.
Does he have a normal tone of voice, Bob Romo,
you know,
at the dinner?
He's talking mostly about his kids and, you know, how they're playing sports right now, and he loves living their lives through, you know, vicariously through them. So it's all good. They're great guys.
Does Nance and Romo tell golf stories? They love golf. Do you guys talk golf?
Of course.
Can you elaborate on that for a moment, Bob?
No, just that he's passionate about golf.
Who?
Jim.
Yeah. He has a course at his house. Have you played it?
Not a course. No, I want to. That's on my bucket list.
What does he have? Like a certain hole from a certain...
He has the seventh hole at Pebble. Not the same exact hole, but it's
Can you get me into Pebble, Bob?
Here we go. Actually, your request worked last week about Oakmont.
I know.
And I got...
I know
a
it
really
did.
Nice man, Greg, who called me up and said, let's do it. And I said, okay.
I'm like Lucas Boyd. If you don't ask, you don't get, Bob.
No, that's true. You got to ask and you get when you do. And I just put up my Lucas Boyd tweet, so we'll see what happens.